With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's Marsh! Erling Haaland to Leeds United is a done deal and even referees are apologising. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Tuesday the 1st. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Pete Donaldson.
And I'm Vidushin Hantaraja.
What a pro you are, Vidushin.
Thank you. I was just thinking there for a headline. Because I've not really seen Jesse Marsh stand up.
Yeah.
But he might want to sit down on a bucket like Bielsa did.
Yeah.
So Bielsa's got strong thighs.
Yes.
And so if Marsh did that, it'd be the thighs of March. Like the Ides of March.
Ides of March is from thighs to Ides.
Yeah, I thought
it's
so.
It's also not today, is it? It's not the. Is it?
No,
oh,
but
God,
it's coming,
I
isn't it?
My ignorance.
But then,
Well, sorry, Tan. Jody said St. David's Day in Welsh. I forget now.
Excuse me.
St. David's Day.
Is it St. David's Day today?
Do we send Habas?
Today is Pancake Day.
It is.
I'm a bit disappointed
it
we haven't. Let's build some egg puns in later.
We will do that, no doubt.
Pancake. Syrup. I'm just throwing
all the
words in my head for later.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll look forward to that.
Jack Lemmon, who's an actor.
Aaron Lemmon.
Thank you. Better.
Pinch. Yeah. Punch.
Manchester Citrus. Sorry, they're going to get worse. Yeah. Keep going.
Someone sent in Crepe Guardiola. It's
quite That's annoying. Why didn't I do that
one?
It is quite good. Pinch punch, first of the month, everybody. Mm. But it's still the same old FIFA. They've changed their stance, PTD, after you talked some sense into them, I think was what happened yesterday. After deciding that Russia could play in football tournaments, as long as they didn't sing their songs or wear their snazzy kits. It seems as though, in further conversation with the IOC, they decided that might not be the correct way to go. There was also intervention, the Ukrainian Federation spoke to them and said, amongst other people, that they would not be playing in any games in which Russia featured. I thought the statement that they then put out last night was pretty interesting, or yesterday afternoon. Following the initial decisions adopted by the FIFA Council and the UEFA Executive Committee, following the initial decision. So the point is, Vish and Pete, they knew all along they were doing the wrong thing. They just needed a bit of time.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe it's a bit like I did the bad pun at the start because I'm like, right, you know,
that building
I can do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah, and no one has
to remember. Iterate
to
better.
Yeah. It's so odd that having already liaised with the IOC about this issue and the IOC having, done what they've done with the Russian Olympic Committee and know it means fuck all, for them to then suggest this is that, well, we did this and almost FIFA and UEFA went, yeah, brilliant, we'll do that. And it's like, well, no, it didn't work. it continues not to work.
And also you could argue that declaring war on your neighbours is even worse than doping.
It is, yeah, exactly. Which is all the more, yeah, it's just remarkable, really. And I think the good thing that's come, or I suppose the reason we are in this situation now, is that federations, football federations in particular, took a stance against this. Like, and, you know, there was no muddied waters on their part. They're like, we're just not going to play them. Mm. And other federations have come in, so, and which is why they've had to make this decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the decision is now that FIFA and UEFA together, they've come together, they've united.
Mm. They literally work across the road from each other.
Yeah, and they've said that they have suspended now all Russian clubs and national teams from all competitions. Mm. So what that means is the women's team were due to play in, or they'd qualified for Euro 2022. They're due to play against Switzerland. That would have been on the 9th of July, so that shouldn't be happening. Mm. Russia's men were supposed to be playing in the World Cup playoff matches, so they were in the semi-final to that. They were due to play Poland. That's not going to be happening. Spartak Moscow have been kicked out of the Europa League, although actually Leipzig said they weren't going to play them anyway as well. Mm. So that's where we are now. It was slow. It was laboured. It's the right decision, Pete.
Yeah, and I think during the middle of yesterday's show, that, I mean, we obviously dedicated a fair bit of it to this subject and the nascent decision that they made yesterday, FIFA and UEFA. I was sort of thinking, God, I cannot remember, for obvious reasons, I was quite young, how the Yugoslavia conflict was dealt with, and I sort of thought I really should have researched that, and I must admit today I've also not researched it, so I don't actually know. I'm fairly certain that the World Football Federation has tried to get things played. I understand why they would do that, but fundamentally this is unprecedented times, and they've finally done the right decision after some cajoling from the regional powers, so to speak. So it's we kind of knew this would happen, because FIFA and UEFA just don't have any options, because clubs have basically said, teams have basically said they're not playing them. So it's,
You touched on it brilliantly yesterday, I thought, Pete, where they have been, football as a whole, and you know, you even mentioned yesterday, and I agree with you that, like, I suppose we're all complicit in this, but football as a whole has, you know, gone on and pandered to not just Russia, but other, you know, other organizations, other regimes. And we're in a situation now where just because you are compromised doesn't mean you can't do the right thing. Mm. Yeah. And it's, I mean, I'm trying to find the right word here, that it's not good and it's not nice, but it is right.
And the gravy train is over for the people who work in these industries. You have to sort of go, look, you've had a nice time. You've taken a lot of money from a lot of terrible powers to exert their own soft power around the world, and it ends here. It has to, because you've been exposed, unfortunately, and the game has been exposed. So hopefully, and I don't necessarily have a lot of conviction in my courage or courage in my conviction here, hopefully this is a turning point for football. Mm. But yeah, I don't know where this goes from here.
Yeah, the statement went on to say both presidents hope that the situation in Ukraine will improve significantly.
Yeah, we all do, mate.
It's just pretty still quite, but that's quite weak, isn't it?
That does not. I almost, with these statements, they don't need to put that in.
Yeah.
I just take it as read. We don't like fucking dead people. Like, just take it as right. It's ridiculous that we have to sort of get through the permafrost of this the really obvious sentiment. Of course, that's the situation. Just give us, just change. We don't need the tokenism. We don't need the statements. Just fucking change. It's boring.
It's like, we don't need to, you know, they've finally reached a conclusion that we should be against war. Nature of it needs to be expressed.
Look, we've been talking about it as well. We are very concerned. Yeah. And just, stop. Yeah.
But the thing is, you know, I'm sure everyone's seen the footage of Gianni Infantino, and of course it's not been so long, having a lovely time with Putin. It's not been so long, as have many world leaders, as have many you know, famous faces from the world of football generally, because it hasn't been very long since we were enjoying a World Cup in Russia.
We covered it. We covered it, and we were before the tournament again. I think, you know, I don't know whether we touched on it yesterday, but that kind of anti-Slavic kind of the image of violent football fans and all that stuff, that going into the tournament, we sort of thought, well, this is how it's going to sort of pan out. It's going to be a terrible tournament beset with all this hooliganism. And for outside factors, probably namely Putin's hard line on any of that caper during the tournament, there wasn't quite so much of it.
Which is good. Predominantly, you know, good not to have people being hooligans, but that was a major part of the PR push.
Yeah, exactly. So it's all a bit of a mess. But we covered it. You know, we sort of said, what a great tournament. Yeah. We really enjoyed that. We went in expecting one thing and we got something completely different. And it's all tied up with that kind of anti-Slavic, anti-Russian kind of feeling. And we gave the tournament and in turn gave the Kremlin props for putting on such a tournament. So look, we're culpable, but it's the only game in town. This is what we cover. It's difficult. We didn't give Russia the World Cup. We don't give. We're not going to give this year's World Cup where it's being given. We can't change that. So it's increasingly difficult for us to cover a product that is compromised. And we said that yesterday.
Do you think? And I'm asking you this, Kate, because I feel like you've just got a good barometer on this kind of stuff. Do you think this is a bit of a line in the sand moment for football? One that's still pretty far. We shouldn't be this far into the beach, as it were. I just thought of sand. but do you feel like, because of how so many people within football have, particularly with Russian money, and I suppose I'm talking about Chelsea, but obviously not specifically Chelsea when you look at, you know, how certain other clubs are propped up as well in this country. But do you think there'll be a bit more scrutiny, I suppose, on where money comes from in the future, because we are in like the worst end game here.
Right. I'd like to say that I did think that, Vish, but I suppose, and it's good that the money situation is being, you know, looked into, and our Prime Minister is having to finally make some kind of claims of what's going to happen. But these two, or what's going to be analysed, but these two, you know, London grad, this capital city has been used as a place for people to certainly store their money. And I don't know that the fact that Russia has declared war on one of its neighbours, it's a pretty late moment in the day to say, oh, look, guys, you've gone a bit far. It's like I saw Musa Okonga was saying on Twitter or somewhere, like, the idea of a cold take.
Yeah.
Like, only speaking up against something when it's just become so absurd that to be negative about it is just like, there's no danger in that. There's no one's going to be like, oh, you should really be supporting this war. I suppose the benefit is that, yes, the idea of football being united, that is progress.
I don't even mean that. I just mean, like, fundamentally, it feels like the game is in a situation now where it has to start again with a lot of this stuff.
Mm.
And that is very, very low down on the list of priorities right now.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's kind of like, you know, you think back to things like the fit and proper test and the fit and proper persons test. And it's almost like, even without even changing the legislation, if you can go into that meeting and deal with some of the people that you've dealt with in the past, and if you can have that do-over and sit there, and even with the previous rulings, not have your conscience thinking, Jesus Christ, like, what's going to, you know, what have we done with ourselves? Then, yeah, I mean, that's kind of, as I said, it's so, so low down. It's not even important, actually, but obviously we're in this room to talk about
like
it.
Like
but
Pete yeah, says, yeah, yeah, you know, we're here to talk, you know, and dropped into Five Live earlier or last night, and was, those shows are like general politics shows and following the progress of the war in Ukraine. And the hosts were saying, Colin Murray, he was like, well, you know, we've got to, let's just do a quick bit on sport, but you know, this is so relevant. And of course it is. It's so relevant in the context of the great scheme of this. Mm. But Putin has used sports washing to its greatest possible extent. And there's lots of, you know, the situation in Crimea, the idea that the kind of the swell of feeling, of positive feeling in that moment within Russia was one of the elements that meant that what went on in Crimea was kind of played down and people were much more comfortable with it, you know, because the reason people get these big sporting events is to is to improve the mood effectively of the people in the country. I'm sure there's lots of caveats to that. For example, in Rio, where, you know, too much money was spent when it could have been spent on other
stuff. South Africa.
Yeah, South Africa, yeah. Of course. But that theoretically is the psychology of it. That's the benefit that is created.
I didn't know you were like, do you have other radio friends?
I'm not having this. Where is this from?
Oh, well, you know.
Who is this Murray lad?
Do I
know his father?
I think to answer your question properly, I think two of the key elements here would be UEFA announcing that it's ended its sponsorship with Gazprom. That was $50 million a year. I think that is significant because any step that is actually like a step that deprives them of money. And in the past, we perhaps wouldn't have expected people to do that. The other interesting point is what's happening with Alisher Usmanov, because he has been sanctioned now by the EU. What is England going to do? So his company, USM Holdings, is behind several of Everton's sponsorship deals. He's heavily connected within Everton and with Fahad Mashiri. So it'll be interesting to see what happens after that. And also the idea of sanctions generally, you guys. I don't, you know, in the context of Chelsea, what do sanctions mean? Like, this is a new stage in English law, as I understand.
Yes, yeah.
And the point is, sanctions should mean that you couldn't operate really as a business in England. And that is, I think, what Roman Abramovich is trying to do in trying to separate himself from Chelsea without taking any actual credible steps to separate himself from Chelsea. But theoretically, sanctions should mean that you can't operate as a business. But as we said, I think probably yesterday, no one really wants Chelsea to go out of business.
It'd be quite jokes though if Emma Hayes, as one of the trustees, was like, we play at Stamford Bridge now. Suck on that.
Yeah.
Take it from here. So yeah, again, you know, it goes without saying that with, like you said, Pete, yesterday, you know, we have a laugh and a joke in here. We've got a bit of a wry look at what's gone on with FIFA and UEFA over the years amongst other football's governing bodies. But of course, we're
running out of angles for side eye glances, aren't we?
Yeah, of course we are.
Not enough.
We're going to have to turn ourselves upside down.
Yes.
Anyone like an upside down look at current affairs?
We're gonna go on and now talk about Jesse Marsh coming in as Leeds United boss. But you know, it goes without saying that we're following as much as we can what's going on in Ukraine, and we all find it absolutely devastating. And so we come in here and try and provide a tiny bit of hopefully entertaining respite from the wall-to-wall misery. On we go.
But now we're going to move on to basically the killing of the Premier League's Barney the Dinosaur.
Oh, well.
I would say Bielsa is that he turned into that kind of figure, didn't he?
I think that's a very disrespectful take.
Barney the Dinosaur.
But he was quite a pure figure.
One of the great intellectual titans of football.
No, Barney isn't like lovable. Not that he is a dinosaur. I mean a literal dinosaur, not a figurative.
You're saying that he's lovable. You're saying he's lovable and pure. Do you not remember when he had like sunglasses on playing that guitar in the titles? Like, that's pretty rock and roll for me.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say he's pure as
Driven
Snow.
Are you saying rock and roll isn't pure?
Yeah. I'm saying that he's this innocent kind of like lovable creature. He's got an edge to him. Plays the guitar.
I mean, if you grew up in the celebrity culture of the 80s,
you're going to indulge in the guitar, aren't you? Yeah. Or doing a key, as they call it.
Is that what they call it?
Good.
Oh, keyhole. Get it. Go on.
Ralph Rangnick, acolyte. Jesse Marsh is coming in.
I love the way that it's. And I know there is something.
Well, it's all part of the old RB.
It's like we're just all picking from the same family tree.
Very incestuous. Becomes just the second American after Bob Bradley to manage in the Premier League. Leeds chairman Andre Ratsmazani said yesterday that he could see something was broken under Bielsa, Pete.
Yeah, I mean, all them goals flying in the net was probably the first clue, wasn't it? Oh, yeah, yeah. He has to tighten up the defence and he has to do it very, very quickly indeed, hoping against hope that he'll get some reinforcements off the treatment table. But there's players like, you know, if you're under the caution, you're a new manager and you're going to be basically just asking every player to work that a little bit harder, the main problem with the Leeds side were players like Rafinha being unable to defend, not wanting to, and going, oh, can I go and play for Real Madrid, please? And so it's like, I do wonder if Bielsa can't get that last drop out of their players. I don't think a new manager's going to do it, but they need something, and they need something quickly.
If you're interested in this stuff, there's a really good article that he wrote about his kind of coaching principles on the Coach's Voice website.
Right. Where he's that
on
is it. Good, yeah.
He's
yeah.
on about his principles. I'm just trying to dig out his, he's got some sort of acronym that he uses, and it's all about being all together and pressing hard and that.
Oh, he's not one of those managers who likes picking people apart.
That sort of shit.
11 individuals.
I found it incredibly inspiring when I read it, which I think in some ways is management, isn't it? Like, in the moment, yeah, I'm like, this exactly. is the way. But I can't necessarily capture exactly what it is. But I'm sure Andy Brassel, who is in, I think tomorrow, will tell us.
Yeah. Sean Wright Phillips said he's never worked so hard under a manager. Which presumably was in MLS at the time. So
yeah.
That should be where you kind of take it easy, to be honest, Sean. But yeah.
I'm quite interested to see the reaction from the Leeds squad, because I don't necessarily think sacking Bielsa was a good move.
No.
Especially considering the three players in Bamford, Phillips and Cooper that they'll probably get back in the next month or so. Mm. And so Marsh is going to benefit from those three. But I also wonder, just because of all the tweets from players like Calvin Phillips with the video with the heart emoji, all the, and I know,
and this manager has to come in and sort of win their hearts.
Yeah,
their hearts have already been taken.
Yeah, but I wonder. I'm trying to figure out if it'll be harder or easier, because I don't necessarily think he needs to pitch himself as a counterpoint to Bielsa, and therefore, you know, come in and be like, oh, I'm the new dad now.
Yeah.
You know,
I wear jeans.
Forget this old guy. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's not turning up anytime soon.
I sit in chairs.
But I wonder if the flip side of that would be that they kind of want to do it for Bielsa. They wouldn't want the idea that Bielsa got them to position left and then they got relegated. Mm. And also, then actually, when you think about it, because Bielsa raised the standard of a lot of those players, Marsh is taking over a group of players who, like 2 years ago, would be nowhere near this situation, but actually do know what it is, what it takes to play in the Premier League, to do well in the Premier League. And so he's almost starting without a transfer window or, you know, any way of bringing in new players. He's kind of got a bit of it's the best that job is going to be after Bielsa, I think. Mm. And so, yeah, I don't know, I'm fascinated to see how it pans out. Mm.
Yeah, he's another one. You know, the other day Conte said he thinks Spurs are good men before being good players. He's another one, a fan of that theory.
He wants
his guys to be.
What day was Conte saying that? Because he was probably saying something wrong, something different.
He
the
said
day
it before. He said it before they played Burnley, and then I think he thought they were dickheads. his acronym, guys, if you're interested, is SOD. I don't know what that stands for. Maybe something in German. The S interestingly stands for sprinting, an English word, but everything else is German. Alle gemeinsam is the second one. All together.
Nice.
There we go. So that is Jesse Marsh in at Leeds United, trying to take over as the happy dad from Bionic the Dinosaur, if I have tied those threads of thought together. And he may have managed Erling Haaland early in his career, old Marsh, but he actually says one of the guys who's played in the American national team is his preferred player in terms of the progress he made.
All right. Okay.
So, who's are you going to name the American player? Or?
Bloody hell!
Oh, he goes to a different school.
Aaron,
that's not
Hope.
The one I'm most proud of.
Yeah. Yeah,
but yeah, he seems to be prouder of Aaron Long than of Erling Haaland.
So his
judgment is, you know, definitely.
Well, it depends on the influence, doesn't it? Like, he probably doesn't want to oversell how much influence.
I'm sure there's a lot of people hitching their wagons to Erling Haaland's progress, I suppose. There'll be a lot of
big fan of the old, like, you know, talent is one thing, but what you can do as a coaching improver is probably what he's pitching there. If you're interested to hear more about Jesse Marsh's journey and how he likes his teams to play, Andy spoke to him last year on an episode of Ramble Meets. So if you just search Ramble Meets Jesse Marsh in your podcast app, you should be able to find that. But if you subscribe to Football Ramble Presents, as you should already, then you'd have listened to it.
Yep.
Maybe listen again. That's my suggestion. All right, time for a break.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states.
United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Have you ever wondered what happened to all those space-age promises that previous generations thought we'd have by now? You know, heading out for the day on your own personal flying cars or working on a space hotel somewhere in the far reaches of our solar system. Where are all those amazing inventions? Well, we're here to find out more on my new podcast, Where's My Jetpack? I'm Sarah Crudis, space expert, TV host and author. Join me and Luke Moore every week as we look into retrofuturistic tech that never was to decide whether it's still just science fiction or if some of these discoveries are actually a lot closer than you think.
I think we're very close to that happening on an even more regular basis. And what I think is interesting about that, too, is that's going to make the accessibility of getting to space available for more and more people.
So, if you've ever wondered whether we'll one day speak to aliens light years away, or you'll be flying to work on a jetpack, this is the podcast for you.
Think of the car parking spaces. They need to be massive, really wide.
No, the wings can fold up.
Well, they don't exist.
No, some of the cars which were designed had wings which folded up.
Are you happy getting in a plane knowing the wings fold up?
Yeah. Right. I trust engineering.
Trust the science.
Search Where's My Jetpack on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Where's My Jetpack is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Buy two, get one free. And I picked up a little Argentinian and
lined it up, having to take a couple of free transfers.
It was one of Daniel's specials.
We were trying to get a couple of players in the top of my shopping list, but they were both free transfers.
I mean, you've made your name as a wheeler and dealer. There's not been much wheeling and dealing, has
there? Fuck off.
Don't say that. It's a lot of disrespect on today's episode of the Football Rumble. Well, welcome back. Me, Vish, and Pete in your ears. Perhaps that's why. Now it's time for some emails.
Oh, why this one?
I think it might be in your honour, mate.
Because I laughed at the Pete one last week, isn't it?
Just 10 more seconds.
That's grossly incriminating at the end.
I like that, yeah. Very nice. Very enjoyable.
So yeah, I've got an email from Josh. Shit background music and Australian five-a-side might be a thing as discussed on Monday's show. I once played a five-a-side competition here where the organiser had his phone connected to a Bluetooth speaker for music every week. The tunes were fine, but he never put his notifications on silent, and so he'd constantly hear his phone dinging through the speaker every time he got a message.
Absolute twat.
It might not sound like much, but trust me, a couple of well-timed dings were well and truly enough to put you off. That was the same organiser who would fill in for his mate's team and start being significantly better than any player in the competition. One game against my team, he scored 4 goals in 10 minutes, and after every goal, he did a little dance. Absolute twat.
Ah.
So I can
read a man by the way he sets his mobile phone notifications. I would say.
Who puts their notifications on anymore?
Who puts their notifications on anymore?
Do you have like clicky sounds when you do the keypad?
No. Oh my god! I have been known to tell. Should I expose myself as this kind of person? Well, you probably already.
Well,
know
you do have very. Can I speak to the manager? Energy.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do a bit. So where's it? So you tell people off on the train when they have their keypad noise on.
Do I really have that energy?
Yeah,
oh, no,
you do
fish.
A little bit. Yeah.
I'm so sad to hear that. I feel like I'm a person who would just level with you. I wouldn't need to speak.
That's
to the
kind
manager.
Of it, isn't it?
Be like, can we talk about this issue that we've had?
When was the last time you told someone to turn their keypad noise off? And where was it? Was it in the Albert Hall?
I haven't done it recently.
Haven't done it recently. So you do it regularly.
I have done it. I have done it. I have nearly been picked at fight on in a train. I can't remember where we were, but on a trip, maybe Spain. And I was just chatting away to my friends about how annoying it was that someone behind me, because we were in Spain. So I thought they'd be speaking Spanish.
Yeah.
And she was like, I'm going to crush your head.
Fantastic.
Yes.
I thought it was a perfectly reasonable thing to do. Anyway, I have been known to offer people my AirPods
if they need to hear the notifications.
God's sake.
I would take that and just run away with your AirPods. Hello to Mike. The Talk of Strange teacher refereeing a couple of weeks ago brought back a memory from my high school days. I was a fairly average footballer who did manage to get on the school team, but being football mad, I took any opportunity I could to play. The eccentric German teacher at our school, Mr. Taylor, decided to run an after-school club called German Football. It was basically the normal rules of football, but you had to speak German the whole way through the match. If you were caught speaking English at any point when the opposition team were given a free kick.
Why was it not called Deutsch Fußball or whatever?
That's a good point, actually. He's fallen at his own hurdle. Yeah, good point. With everyone who attended the club just wanting to play football and not really giving a shit about improving their German skills, it was basically just a group of lads running around screaming, yeah, if something good happened, and nein, if something bad happened. The match would be stopped every 10 minutes or so for Mr. Taylor to try his best to teach us what man on was in German. But judging by the fact I can't remember a single piece of German, it's safe to say that his efforts were wasted.
I just run around shouting, Tor!
Is that goal? Is that shoot? Is that goal?
Tor.
Tor. I like that. Yeah. Nice. Beautiful.
Or Fraulein, because I've watched Inglourious Basterds recently. And I like the way they say that.
Kleber dick football.
And you'd ask for a pass and you'd do the three in the right way. Otherwise, they would know you weren't German.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bit of a visual moment there from Vish.
Yeah, you've got to do signal three with your thumb rather than three fingers.
Yeah.
Because that's how they do it in Germany. Yeah.
Cool.
Cultural expertise you hardly need on the continent. Tomorrow is Wednesday, you guys. So make sure you get your dilemmas or questions in for Pep Talks. Show at footballramble.com or tweet us at footballramble. Oh my God. What are you up to, Pete?
What am I up to? What do you mean?
You're up to something.
Oh, am I up to a little bit of Portmantonio Conte?
I think you might be.
I mean, you've got the iPad. Got nothing over here, mate.
I prefer to kill him.
It's time for a little bit of Portmantonio Conte. We were quite late to recording this show, but me and Vish were stuck in cars, our own cars. We didn't stay over or anything, but we stuck in cars.
They arrived together.
And we were both playing a little game of Portmantonio Conte in the car, weren't we? Sending each other WhatsApp voice messages and
stuff. It descended into film Portmantonio Conte. And I might throw this out to the listeners, get back to me. I am a lasagna-loving cat. And I also build a baseball pitch in my garden for dead people. who am I?
Who am I, indeed? Right.
Footballramble.com.
Two footballers mashed together. You know how to play it. Guys, are you ready?
Yes.
Cool. Martin Foley's come up with the clues of this one. Thank you, Martin. I am a Brazilian UEFA Champions League and Premier League winning striker, and I'm a Peruvian Jordi dead ball specialist.
But fuck me, it's hard.
Norberto Solano.
Premier League, Champions League winning striker.
Brazilian.
Mm-hmm. Brazilian.
Yep.
Premier League and Champions League winning striker. This shouldn't be hard.
I
don't know the rules anymore, actually. It is Roberto Firmino. Roberto Solano.
I was thinking older than Roberto Firmino.
Right, on to the next one.
Roberto Firmino. Do it again.
Roberto Firmino, Norbert Solano. You got to just take it one syllable at a time.
That's a good one. That's one of the best ones.
Very much correct.
Carry on.
From Alan Johnson, I went from puffing a fag in the changing rooms at the Emirates to winning Serie A, and I once crocked the first guy successor in my role as an ultimate shithousing French striker. Shithousing French striker, puffing a fag in the changing rooms at the Emirates.
Mm-hmm. The big smoker I was thinking of is Berbatov.
Chesney. Wojciech Chesney. Nee.
What's the second one?
French striker, shithouser.
Olivier Giroud, not enough.
Wojciech Chesnil Maupay. I like that one. It's really good.
That's good, actually.
Thank you, Alan Johnson.
That actually flows.
Yeah, exactly.
Wojciech Chesnil Maupay.
His name wasn't Alan Johnson.
Second?
Or was it? Oh, was the first one or someone else?
Martin Foley was the first one.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Two different people. Yeah, I should have got that. People. Two quite different styles of portmanteau.
So you got into the mind of the first
two different
person.
Two flavours.
Goodness. Let's talk about Gianluigi Buffon, because he's just extended his contract with Parma until 2024. How old will he be in 2024? Pete, he will be 46.
I just... When is he going to stop?
He's not going to stop.
Let yourself rest, for crying out loud.
He doesn't want to rest.
Throwing yourself around.
Isn't the whole point of, you know, being able to retire young is to be able to, you know, enjoy the money and go and do things and be active enough to go and do things.
Mm. Yeah.
But if you stop playing at 50... You won't be able to move, will you? You can't enjoy anything.
Because all of your hips will be just...
Yeah, you have to pay other people
sawdust.
To move your hips. Oh. Yeah.
I think Craig Bellamy said that he retired at the time he did because he wanted to have a kick around with his kids in the garden, and he was just damaged himself. But maybe Buffon hates his kids. Can we discount that? That he just hates his family.
We can't discount that. And I'm sure our lawyers won't either.
Is that actionable? I don't know.
It's like that tweet.
Prove it.
It's like that viral tweet that always comes up every now and again. It never fails to make me laugh. It's like, you know, people always talk about the breakdown of marriages between, you know, a husband, the wife, and maybe the kids have bad vibes. Maybe Buffon's kids have bad vibes.
Bad vibes, mate. Bad vibes.
Buffon made his Serie A debut for Parma in November 95.
I'm glad you put it in November then. Like he was like in the late, but he was actually early in his school year, so it's fine.
My first football matches I went to, I think, in 95.
November 95.
Yeah.
Even little things like how he would have had to kill time have changed.
Yeah, that's true. I feel like anybody who can feud so impactfully with with a man like Michael Oliver is just, he just never wants it to end, does he?
Was Michael Oliver born in 98? Of course he would have been. Child running around officiating Premier League games.
Child prodigy referee. This isn't true, but Eric Ten Hag...
say it anyway.
Cool. Yeah.
Well, in the context of old goalkeepers, Ajax have lost their first, second and fourth keeper to injury.
I've got a solution for them then.
Their CEO is
your third
Edwin van der Sar. Yeah, no, good question.
But their CEO is
he's 51.
First, second, fourth.
You could do a job. Who's why do they hate the third one?
That's a bit like, you know, the thing of releasing sheep into like a college and numbering them 1, 2, and 4.
Right.
So people spend
time
looking for three.
That's nice.
Maybe this is what it is. I mean, look for the third. Where's the third? There isn't a third goalkeeper.
I don't think I've ever heard that story. That's a wonderful thing.
We
to
should do that.
Yeah, cracking.
Is it? Could it be that in Ajax land, like number three is a what's the word? Like an unlucky number.
Oh, you know,
like
how some buildings shit they'd believe in. Yeah.
Buildings 13, don't have a floor 13, hotels and stuff, because people don't want to stay on the 13th floor.
Do you know in Australia, or specifically Australian cricket, the number 87 is bad luck because it's 13 away from a century.
Jesus.
It's absurd, isn't it? Yeah.
That actually is absurd.
A lot of time to think in cricket, isn't it?
Someone who hasn't been thinking enough, possibly, is former Germany and Bayern Munich winger Mario Basler. He has decided to coach his local team. Well, he hasn't, strictly speaking, decided. Türkiye Gücü Onnesbruck, which is local to where he lives. It's in the eighth team of German football because he said he'd do it if he lost to his mate at squash.
So it's like a dare. So he, okay, right. That's quite good.
But he seems to be tied in for a year and a half. Yeah, I mean, I think he needs to look at the way he bets.
That's a big bet, isn't it? Yeah.
I mean, he's been hustled there massively.
He's been hustled. A year and a half.
Hasn't he got another job as well? Oh, sorry, I can't come into work. I've lost a bet.
Double or nothing? What, the national team? What do you want to do?
Fantastic.
That is incredible. Yeah. I think more deals should be done like that.
Yeah, agreed. It's good on him for keeping his word, I guess.
He used to manage Wacker Burghausen, which is a very enjoyable club name.
Was that another bet as well? I've got to stop doing this. For fuck's sake.
Yeah, so because squash is quite a quick game. So he's just like, oh, I'm just nipping out for a game. Come back. I'll come back in a year and a half.
You play a lot of squash. Have you ever bet anything on squash?
Yeah, but I always win. So.
Oh,
doesn't matter.
Yeah, well, exactly. So, what have you got? So, like, what have you got to show?
People warm their balls on the radio.
Or in your bra,
right?
Yeah. You do radio.
People will know you're doing that, surely, no? Wouldn't they?
What's that? What do you wear?
Depends how big your tits are, I guess.
Well, mine are gigantic.
What are you talking about?
Oh, I thought those
were
your nipples, Pete. Yeah, the squash ball is. It needs to be warm in order for it to bounce. Properly.
Oh yeah!
When you start playing.
I know people do rub it in their hands.
Yeah, the sole of their
shoe. It's such a dull sport, isn't it? You'll never get Olympic status.
Do you want to play me for a bet?
Yeah, if you win, I'll put it in the Olympics for you.
He has
tonight,
more power.
Premier League and FA Cup football for you guys. In the Premier League, it's Burnley up against Leicester. That's it. 20:00 hours, and happily, who is it who's playing at 7:15? Oh yeah, Man City off to Peterborough. So that means you can watch the first half, and then you can watch another half of something. It's good that I like it, when
good.
It's organised.
So you've got to be in the fairies, don't you? Because I don't think this Premier League game is on TV.
Oh shit!
Right?
Yeah. Sorry, what? Sorry, what?
I just found a WAV file on my desktop.
Sorry, what?
Oh my God. Fish, I thought you were having some seizure.
I genuinely thought I was just hearing my own voice.
Is that your internal monologue?
I was like,
all the way through
Christ.
The show.
Sorry, what?
So rude.
Why is this?
I got loads of them.
Why have you got fish laughing?
I don't know. I think
so
I had a little
creepy.
I had a little project
Jim's
on my
head.
Door.
He's got Jim's head in his house that he printed out.
Yeah.
You just like
got little sound clips of
fish.
You haven't seen Squid Games, have you?
Why is this a thing?
I don't know. I just found them on my desktop. I think that email jingle got me in the mood.
Are you going to make a Frankenstein creation of all of us? And for my part, you've chosen my phrases.
These are your phrases.
Sorry, what? Sorry, you haven't seen Squid Games, have you?
That's all we got.
Guys, we need to give Peterborough their due. They're about to face 20 goals from Manchester City. They've got the worst. They've got the worst defence in the Championship.
It's not looking great.
Peterborough. My mum's not even. That's my local side. My mum's not even. She's not even paying her friend enough to go. Actually, I think tickets were quite hard, as they would be, to acquire when Manchester City come to town. But yeah, Peterborough have conceded 66 goals this season. They have a minus 42 goal difference, but luckily the cup games don't count in the overall tally.
Yeah, but they do for your self-esteem, don't they?
Hopefully Scotty Carson will play in this. What do you think?
That would be fun.
But it might.
Well, is Zach Steffen still injured?
Yes, yeah. Steffen is injured. Okay. And do we pick Edison? No, I don't think we do.
I don't think we do.
Pep?
Is it? Is he moustached at the moment or unmoustached?
I haven't seen his face recently.
Does he like his tash?
Actually, if you consider, so Edison's the number one, Steffen's the number two, Carson is very much the
number four
goalkeeper. Oh, brutal. PGMOL General Manager Mike Riley has made personal phone calls to Bill Kenwright and to Frankie Lamps to apologise after their crap VAR decision the other night, where they didn't award Everton a penalty against Manchester City.
Yeah, is that helpful to anyone?
Extraordinary. I think they should have done a video, very serious Mike Riley video. Just want to apologise for everything that I've done.
Or just an Instagram post.
Yeah.
And then other referees, you know, stick at it, bruv.
They should sing.
Hold your head high.
They should sing Imagine. They can all sing one word each.
And Gail Gadot in that as well. Yeah.
Does Bill and Frank get to kind of, do they get to check VAR whether they accept the apology or not after the event?
It'd be wonderful if they were that petty about it. Oh, we've got to check if we accept your apology. Yeah.
Give me a second, just him walking off, clicking the telly.
We said no. So
it is elegant to accept people's apologies, isn't it? You should, you know, if people are truly sorry, you should accept that. But Frank,
it can be quite annoying though.
Useful here, does it?
Because sometimes people apologise for their own peace of mind, and you're like, no, I want you to hold this.
Yeah, suffer more.
I think this is, it's weird. I don't think this is necessarily a good precedent.
Don't apologise, never apologise, never explain. Who said that? I don't know.
Terrible guys.
Yeah, Boris Johnson. But I understand why they, because they wanted a conversation with them, and so they would have explained, even if it was, if they admit to it being an incorrect decision, you can explain the workings, can't you? And I suppose the fact that it's become public now is just going to mean that so many other people are going to demand, you know, apologies and conversations. I don't know why they didn't release a statement that night, to be fair.
Yeah.
I don't know why they had to let it drag on.
It was so bloody obvious. King Charles I apparently said that.
Oh.
Things have changed, Charlie. Middlesbrough hosting Spurs. That kickoff is 7:55 kickoff time. Weird kickoff time, fans. Chris Wilder jokingly accused Antonio Conte of copying his tactics in a recent awards night. So we're interested to see how that plays out. Do you think Stephen Warnock will be releasing an apology video, Vish, for calling Liverpool style of gegenpress Gangnam Style?
No, he didn't.
Gangnam Style.
No, he didn't. That's like a mistake your mother would make. Style.
I mean, look.
Match of the day.
Who's to say Gangnam Style isn't a legitimate defensive and offensive player? You're on your toes. It's an unnatural shape for a handball, sure, because you're doing the whip motion, but I think it's fine.
They say for defending, though, that you should never be front on. You should always be kind of side on.
And you don't want your hands above your head in the penalty box, do you?
Yeah.
No.
I'm not sure that he either way could claim that Jurgen Klopp invented Gangnam Style.
So Psy, you know, that's his name, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like by the end, he's got, you know, he's got a horde behind him. Yeah. It'd be quite hard to get through that.
Yeah, exactly.
You'd have to go over the top, wouldn't you?
You would.
So FA Cup and Premier League for you tonight. Let's hope to see some similarly excellent scenes to the one in the Women's FA Cup on Sunday. Southampton's keeper Kayla Rendell scored in the last minute of extra time. She is the goalkeeper. She scored with a quality header.
Great header.
She's sort of jumping backwards as well, which I quite enjoyed.
To take it to penalties.
I like it.
They subsequently did lose to Ipswich 4-2 on pens.
Oh, Kayla, why? We could have done without the trauma.
It was worth it, though.
No, that was very good. The
it's always
angle,
worth it.
The camera angle is great as well.
Yeah. You really feel like you're in amongst it.
Yeah, you do, yeah. You're like shoulder to shoulder.
What a player. With all that in mind, maybe you can, I don't know if they're going to dissect that too fully, but hope so, on today's Up Front. Flo, Rachel and Chloe are talking about the US women's national team's settlement of their contract dispute with US Soccer, which is their first chance to get a pass at that since it was announced last week. If you remember, we talked about it on the Rumble. They speak to Rachel Bachman from the Wall Street Journal, who gives a really good explainer on the whole situation. So that one's very much worth a listen. Subscribed to Football Ramble Presents if you haven't already. All right, Pete, time to get out of here.
Sorry, what? Oh, no. I don't want to say anything because he's just going to cut it and use it against me.
I think that's a sensible call from you to be honest.
Squid Games, have you?
Are we ever going to be able to leave?
No.
Let me leave.
Get out of here.
Let me leave, Donaldo.
Yeah. Goodbye, everyone. Man United is shit.
On tomorrow's show, it is Marcus, it's Jim, and it's Andy Brassel to knock some sense into your ears if you would like it.
Yeah. I just want to wish everyone a happy Ides of March.
Say goodbye to the listeners.
Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to today's Football Ramble. It's part of the Acast Creator Network.
If we all made ourselves into a thicket, we'd be the Football Bramble, wouldn't we?
Fuck, that's terrible.
Spellsy-esque, that.
If there was a show, if we did like a show before the main one, it would be the Football Preamble.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.